I'll say that the first business we started was a home health agency. It was open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We also found some things out about the industry where we felt like to really make a lot of money, we would have to kind of walk on a line that we didn't want to walk on as far as, not going to say fraud, right? But I'm just going to say that we had to push some things that we didn't feel comfortable pushing when it came to billing and different things.
One of the most important things I've learned in my life is that a person can achieve all their goals, they can be wealthy, and still not be fully free. As I climbed the wealth ladder and grew a company that was one of the most successful real estate investment companies of its kind here in St. Louis, Missouri, on the outside, I had everything I had dreamed of. The beautiful wife, nicer car than I thought I'd drive, nicer home, beautiful kids. And yet, on the inside, I didn't really feel any different. I still felt, quite frankly, like a slave. I was chasing money. I was chasing my next goal. And when I hit the goal, I wouldn't take the time to celebrate it. And I didn't know how to fully enjoy the journey along the way. So as I've aged, I've gotten curious, how do we make our entire lives wealthy and not just one component of it? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to interview the guests on this show. And yeah, we're going to talk about what they've done and what their stories are and how they've become financially wealthy. But also, I want to dig into their relationship with money and their relationships with other and if they have more joy and fulfillment than when they started out, or if they don't, and why or why not. So thanks for tuning in. We got a great guest coming for you. Let's get started. Hey guys, Jim Manning here with another episode of the Passive Wealth Show. Today we have Kadada Mitchell on the line, and Kadada is a successful entrepreneur, and we got connected through a mutual friend, and I am really excited. We had a chance to chat last week, and I've been excited ever since to get you on this on the show, and welcome. Glad that you're here. So can you just kind of give us a brief background on you and your story, and we'll get started on the interview?
Sure. Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here and excited to have the chance to share my story in hopes that it can help other people. Because as the newfound saying is right now that's out there is, I'm just a girl. I have teenagers. So they're always like, Mom, I'm just a girl. So if I could do it, anybody can do it. But to give a little background on myself, I think age is important, so I'll share my age. I'm 47 years old at this point, a mother of four, an entrepreneur. My husband and I together own three childcare centers. We have also managed, but don't own, a fourth childcare center. We own a sugaring business, which is waxing and hair removal. And we also own some real estate. So we own three homes at this time and are actually looking for another home potentially in Playa del Carmen, Mexico, because that's one of the places we love to go. So, and also, because I think this is important, we have two businesses under our belt. One that didn't work out was a home health agency that we got out of and sold. And we did do Amazon logistics and delivered packages for Amazon for 3 years and recently closed that business last year. So I like to talk about things we don't do anymore. I don't know, because I think that gives context for folks who maybe have had a business that failed or didn't work out. And I also had an Amazon drop shipping store that didn't work out either. But it's not always everything's perfect and everything works out. You have your failures along the way also.
So have you been an entrepreneur your whole career, or did you start out doing something else and transitioned?
Good question. No, I have not been. Probably an entrepreneur at heart a little bit. But I went to college and got a degree in occupational therapy. So I actually worked as an occupational therapist for, maybe 20 years. And then I started a business about 10 years into being an occupational therapist. That didn't work out. Went back to being an OT. And then stopped again to help run our childcare centers. So that was actually kind of the bread and butter that brought money in to help us do and live great. And get all these businesses started.
So what did you do right with that one that didn't go quite so right with the other ones?
Okay, so that's a really good question, Jim. So
she acts so surprised.
I didn't know you were gonna ask those questions. So I'll say that the first business we started was a home health agency.
Okay.
It was open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I had two young children at the time. That was a no-go, and it didn't work out. We also found some things out about the industry where we felt like to really make a lot of money, we would have to kind of walk on a line that we didn't want to walk on, as far as, not going to say fraud, right? But I'm just going to say that we had to push some things that we didn't feel comfortable pushing when it came to billing and different things in that industry. So that was a learning lesson. No more 24/7 businesses, for sure. Had to turn off at some point. And I think that we started childcare businesses because they were my husband's passion. And that was helpful because he was really motivated. And then that actually helped me to be motivated because I really wanted to help my husband, succeed and meet his dreams also. And as a family, and we had kids, of course, so our kids went to our childcare center. So that may have helped us be more successful there, that there was a passion with my husband. Our children were attending. It was like, we got to make this work. And the parameters, look, childcare's close at six, and they're not open on the weekend. So it was more of a normal work day in a way. Yeah. So you
turn it off and.
Yes, you could.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have to worry about something happening. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Right. Now, I will say, I got into the Amazon logistics business, and while that wasn't 24 hours a day, it was 7 days a week. And, that was very stressful. It was very lucrative for us, but it was stressful. And we just decided at one point that the money wasn't worth it. So I kind of went back. I think we're not ever doing another 7 day again. I had to be reminded. Yeah, we did so that for 3 years.
Yeah, you're pretty stubborn,
I am. It takes the Lord knows. The Lord knows. Yeah. Oh, you have a good eye. Yeah. But I am stubborn, and I do sometimes make the same mistake twice. But those factors were probably what made the other businesses more successful.
Okay. So let's recap here. So the first one just had some gray area. Let's call it that.
Yeah, there we go.
Second business was passion, the right life balance. It's gone, really been your bread and butter. And then your third business was making good money, but you're having to sacrifice a little too much to keep it operating. Okay.
Absolutely. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Fourth business is the sugaring company that I told you about, the hair removal. And I have a partner in that. And that's been really good because I have a partner. I know people talk about partnerships. We're only in a year in, but it does help split the workload also. And that is, you split the cash flow, but you also split the workload. And we really went into that business saying we were not going to run it. We were going to hire managers from the beginning. And so, partly because of, we already had a lot of business experience, both of us, both my partner and I, we were able to start a business where we're not working there every single day to start it up. And that's often what happens when you initially start businesses. So you learn, you get better, and I think you're able to open more businesses with a little bit more ease. So than when you first start out.
That's right. So then has that one been going well?
Yes. I'd say yes. It took a year, but we're paying ourselves now. So that's great. It's not a huge amount, but I'm happy to be on profit. And we're just kind of looking forward to meeting our, goals for this year and continuing to make money. So for us, it was just another piece of diversification of our businesses. And we saw during COVID that childcare centers could close, and if you're only in one business, you could, I think you can set yourself up if something happens in that industry that you're scrambling. And so we always felt like it was a great idea to have a diverse portfolio of businesses. So there was always something, no matter kind of what was going on in the world. So COVID-19 taught us that. A lot of other good lessons, but sure. It's one big thing we learned from COVID.
Okay. So then, all right. So then now at what point were you doing the real estate as well?
I know. So real estate, when we moved from Killeen, Texas, which is an Army town, I'm not Army affiliated, but it was an Army town, to Dallas, Texas. And we decided to rent our home in Killeen when we moved to Dallas, just in case it doesn't work out or something happens, we still have our home available to us. And so that was the beginning of our rental history. Thank God that's been going great. We have a renter who's been in place for, I think, 5 or 6 years now. She takes great care of the place. And so, you know, Jim and I talked about kind of passive income and looking at ways to bring money in. And last year I got the itch to, I thought, you know what, I want to own some more real estate. Maybe in 10 years I can have enough real estate where I'm bringing a good chunk in from real estate passively. And so last year I started the journey of trying to get more properties. And this year, after some research and getting with a company that kind of specializes in getting rental properties for investments, we bought 2 properties in St. Louis this year. So in hopes of probably maybe buying 2 more, maybe before the end of the year. So we'll see if we can make that happen. So, and yeah, maybe this place in Playa del Carmen too. So we'll see.
Sorry, say that again.
And maybe the place in Playa del Carmen. So we really are looking at a place in Mexico to buy for an investment property and for us to go visit when we go there. So.
No, and when you're buying them, are you trying to buy them like turnkey where all the work's done? Are you trying to buy value adds where you fix them up, or what are you doing there?
So in the area that we're in right now in St. Louis, we're buying properties. They are small houses that will be Section 8 rentals. So I'm, you know, going to be a Section 8 landlord in St. Louis in that market. So far, so good. I know a lot of people talk about the pitfalls, but I did a lot of research and people were saying you kind of just got to vet them like you vet any other renter and not just take the first Section 8 person that comes around, and they've had good success that way. Because we all know if you've been in the rental game long enough, somebody with money can tear up your house just as good as somebody who doesn't. So it's just about picking the right renter. But so my goal is to just find houses. Yeah, they're pretty ready. I don't want to spend more than about $6,000 on any improvements. So I want the foundation and the base to be there. So maybe I have to buy a couple appliances or fix something on the floor, but we're not doing major. I want it ready for a renter to be in there pretty quick with some minor renovation.
Oh, that's great. And so then is your long-term goal like financial freedom through the real estate and like some point replacing your income, or what are you thinking there?
That is part of the goal. I'm really seeing, because as you talk about on your podcast, because I've listened, you know, real estate rentals are not as, it's not passive, right? Someone can always call you when an AC unit goes out, when there's been a storm and a branch falls on the roof. I mean, you're ultimately going to get those phone calls. So it's not totally passive. So I am currently looking for ways to find investments that are truly passive. I'd like a portfolio of homes where maybe we're receiving about $10,000 a month based on those homes. Mm-hmm. And if it keeps going like it's going with the 3 that I have, I think I could have 10 and be okay. And not worry too much about the workload, but we'll see. The goal is to get about $10,000 a month coming in from rentals. So,
yeah. So I like to, I have some trainings in different episodes that we talk about this. It's, a lot of times when people are investing, they don't realize that there's a very simple concept. And it's how I grew my business actually, is there's the best partners in real estate, in my opinion, are you have a money partner and you have a hustle partner. And the money partner's job is to just provide capital, and the hustle partner's job is to do all the work, right? And that was kind of like the secret behind how we scaled. And I mean, we did back in 2016 or 2017, depending on what episode you listen to, I might tell you a different year. It shows you how good my memory is, like 9 years ago, right? But we got up to like 250 flips in 1 year. And we didn't do that because, you know, Jim Manning, born from a middle-class family, had enough money to do 250 flips in a year. Right. We did it because we had money partners and we were the hustle partner. And mm-hmm. we used other people's money to be able to scale and grow the operation. And so when you look into real estate investing, like there are ways to do it and make it passive, not because the instrument and the vehicle is passive, but it's because someone else can make it passive for you if you have the money to invest. And like there's a whole process around that and thinking through what's best for you. Like I myself was a hustle guy. That's what was best for me. And for a lot of us, we think we should just get in and be the hustle person and the money person when there's other fund structures out there and syndication deals and there's alternative ways to do it that you know, may not. Was that even on your radar before you bought some of these turnkeys or?
Yeah. So let me tell you.
Yeah,
so
let's go into that a little bit. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We so it's really funny when you start looking for passive ways to invest, right? Like you start looking, you finally decide like, okay, I don't want to do this active thing anymore. How can my money make money? And you hear all these things about hard lenders and, you know, funds that pay dividends. And if you just have enough of these funds, then you'll get enough dividends and whatnot. So to cover your, you know, living expenses. So, through a coaching group that I was in for the daycare program, I met a lady who she owned a bunch of childcare centers, sold them for a significant amount and paid a significant amount of taxes. And she just said to me, you know, I never, ever want to pay that much money in taxes ever again. And so she went on a journey to figure out how to kind of, you know, use real estate in a way to avoid paying taxes legally, of course. And so she just last year, I believe it was last year, maybe in the year before last, I think it really actually might have been 2022, kind of educated me on multifamily, you know, where you buy a $50 million apartment building and you get investors and you're going to upgrade that apartment building, you know, whether it's make the pool look nice, paint it outside, upgrade some of the apartments, and then you start charging more rent. And then, you know, we put like a minimum amount in, but that minimum amount pays us dividends every quarter. And then in 3 to 5 years, we hopefully will have a lump sum payout if everything goes well. So that type of investing piqued my interest. I thought, I really literally, like you said, I am doing nothing. I'm the money person. Yeah. One of the apartments is down here in Dallas. I can drive by and see the renovations as they're going on. I'm not doing any of that. And so that is where I am. And while I was happy to meet you also, is just being able to learn more about opportunities like that, where I am putting my money in and just getting a return. But I'm new to it. So it's something that I'm still exploring and learning more about, but want to know more about. So
yeah.
But that was before I bought the turnkey. So I kind of want to have.
And you can, you can do a little bit of everything, right? Like it's
right.
For some people, like we have a investor that's invested for longer than I have. I've been investing almost 20 years now, right at 18 years. And we have a guy that's invested for over 40 years in our market and he invests passively with our team. I asked him, well, hey, like, why would you do that? He said, well, I have the perfect lifestyle with the 40 properties that I own. I want to continue to build my portfolio, but I'd rather do it through someone that's doing the work. Cause like, I don't want to manage a 41st home. Like I'm in my happy place right now, you know? And, you know, it reminds me of a story. And I, you know, I don't even know if the story is true, by the way, a friend of a friend told to me and I, he like, you know, let's see where this goes. Let's see where Jim's ADD takes us. Right. Bill Gates and a couple of his billionaire cronies were sitting around a table and they were having lunch. Someone came up to him and said, hey, will you tell me what the secret to success is? And then all of them around the table unanimously said, focus at the same time.
Yeah.
And when you look at guys of that caliber, the billionaires, it can get a little confusing because like the Jeff Bezos of the world, like Amazon does like thousands of businesses now, right?
Right.
Well, if you really study Jeff Bezos's journey though, what's fascinating is Amazon just sold books. books for a couple of years.
I remember that. Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. they branched out to CDs, a crazy branch out, right? When a very related
CDs,
product.
CDs, right? Yeah. We're dating ourselves, but yes.
And you better believe that Bezos saw what Amazon was going to become ahead of time. Maybe not to this extent. I mean, it's been crazy what they've done, but he had a vision for like, hey, they could be an online marketplace for everything. Mm-hmm. But the billionaire mindset and that the entrepreneurs of that level say, well, hold on, like, let's focus first. Let's mm-hmm. really build a world-class competency at one thing first. And then now mm-hmm. it's time to add on. Let's build the world-class competency on the next thing. Then let's add on. And then let's add on. Then let's add on. And when you look at the opportunity to develop a passive investing skill set, what's so mm-hmm. exciting about that is you can build as an entrepreneur, like the Kadadas of the world, you can build a core competency in one field or maybe, or two, in her case, two fields, and mm-hmm. dive deep on that, but still ultimately replace your income if you develop a passive investing skill set and get good at finding the right operators, vetting them, the right opportunities. And there's a path to be able to stay focused and increase mm-hmm. your income on what a core competency is and mm-hmm. still become financially free at the same time.
Two things with that I want to say. I want to say that I feel like I'm wildly successful now. And I judge my success by my time freedom mm-hmm. And what I can do with my time, and with having four children and, you know, you need your time freedom. If a kid wants you to come to their award ceremony, they need to be picked up after school. Someone's got to go to soccer. Oh, someone's sick today. You know, all these things, you need the ability to be able to move the way you want to move. And I like to travel. So like I was 8 days in Australia this summer, came back, was 3 weeks and played a Carmen. And we go where we want to go, when we want to go, for the most part, because we have the time freedom, right? So that's great. And that's through some hard work in our businesses. But that alone also makes me want to have more passive, because when we're on vacation, we can still get a call. When I'm at my kids' award ceremony, someone might send me a 911. We need assistance now. So we don't have that time freedom there, but also focus. I do want to talk about focus too. I think I could be way more successful if I could focus better because we could have way more daycares now. If I could, I love different things. I love the variety. And I sometimes sit there and think, Kadada, like, you need to laser focus.
Hey, come on now. I mean, it takes one to know one, right? Like
I do look at, you know, I look and I have some friends who are entrepreneurs, and the things that they can kind of like you said, laser focus on, I just don't have it. But I laugh because I think everybody needs to know that, you know, I think you can be successful whatever personality type you have, whether you're a little bit squirrely and look around, but you do at times need to be able to focus on certain things, right? Like if you're in your business and you see a problem, you need to be able to focus on that problem in your business to maintain success. But I really think if I could just get a little more focus, I could actually be doing probably double what I'm doing now, but hey, I'm happy. Well, so.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I mean, congrats on all the success too, like, right? Like,
and thank you.
You know what part of it is as I've matured as an entrepreneur, I've been, you know, doing this since 2006, studying at entrepreneurship anyway. And what I've come to realize as I've gotten older is that it's actually a little bit of an addiction. What's the right word for it? So like the science behind it, Jim Manning pretending he's a doctor right now.
I'm a Google doc. You're fine.
But what happens with, like, when you're in the ideation and coming up with new ideas, it's exciting. And like, and dopamine gets released, and like, you can become an addict on it because it's like a high, right? Mm-hmm. And then what happens is, oh, you come up with this exciting idea. I start to work it. Oh, it's got all this promise. And then now work shows up. And for me to really lift this to the next level, it's the same boring thing. Work yes. shows up over and over and over again, right? Mm-hmm. And regardless of what idea you have, like as I've become more seasoned, I've realized is like, well, hey, when work shows up, is this something I'm still going to want to do?
And Jim, that's a wonderful epiphany. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, and mm-hmm. so like, and then I have people around me too. Like I have a COO that like hates every new idea that, so I have to throw 100 to him before he has one that he likes. Right. And
right.
like, I have the right people around me to support those tendencies now as well.
Right. Yeah.
And so like, but yeah, every time. So I, one of my good buddies is a immigration attorney. He's in on a national level. He's, you know, he has offices all over the place. And what he told me is, and this was about 10 years ago, he said, hey, Jim, you know, what's weird about entrepreneurship. Every time I focus, I win. Every time I let go of something else, I win. And, it's so easy to get so distracted and it's so easy to get all over the place. And that's one of the reasons I've fallen in love so much having these conversations and talking mm-hmm. about how do you build passive wealth? And you know, how do we get over this Jim Manning and my ego that I have to be the guy that does all the work, or I have to be the guy that does the investment. And how do we realize that, you know, I believe our success should be measured by what we gave up to get it. And, you know, like mm-hmm. going after mm-hmm. $1 billion for that sake, but if you lose everything, all your family, all your old friends in the process, that's mm-hmm. not worth it.
No, absolutely not.
Like it's not mm-hmm. worth it at all. So like, you know, then the question becomes, how do we have our cake and eat it too? Well, you have to get good at investing with other yes. people and other organizations and let them do yes. the work. So you can have mm-hmm. money over here that's generating you money. And then you can have your focus on developing out what you want to develop out. And, you know, I mean, there is a creation gene, you know, and if you get to the point where, okay, we built these daycares, we have 4 of them we're working on right now. We got 20 of them and I'm not able to create anymore. It's doing the same thing over and over again. Well, guess what? Sell the dang thing and then do it over again or something.
Do it over again, right?
You know, and then build it again. Like if that's what you like to do, but
yeah,
don't go out. But you don't have to like then go out and, you know, try and do 4 other things and still do this old thing and maintain it. And, you know, like.
True. I do think too, when you become an entrepreneur and you start owning businesses, and you may attest to this too, so many more opportunities start coming at you.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you are a creator, which I do think I'm a creator because I do like to start businesses. And then, like you said, it's like, oh man, the work is here now. Like this is okay. Oh, I remember why I maybe didn't start.
Yeah, that's right.
But you doors start to open for you. So it's like, well, you've owned these type of businesses and that correlates well with this, or now I think I have to diversify. So let me take my skills that I've learned here and move over here to do that. And so it's been interesting because I really feel like more gets thrown at me and I'm like, this is a great idea. I want to try that. I want to try this. And I have the capital now where I didn't before. And I have people who could support me and I didn't used to have that. So you sometimes start going down this path. And like you said, whether it's ego, whether it's fear, because some of it can be fear. I think that's what a lot of mine is based in. I don't know why I feared like not having money anymore or something, but I have to do a little therapy for that or something, but based on like, well, I have to diversify because what if this happens and what if that happens? So you start to just do things because you can, not necessarily because you should. And so after closing our business last year, I really just sat and I thought like, what do you really want to be doing? You know, like, what what I want to do is travel the freaking world. I want to be available for my children. I want to like sit on the couch, sit outside, go to our pool. And I want money coming in. And so I got to figure out how to make that happen, you know?
Kidada, what you said there was very wise, and we have to slow it down here for really mm-hmm. quick. As an entrepreneur, like we can get a lot of anxiety and stress and fear on things going wrong,
mm-hmm.
myself Absolutely. Included, right? Yep. And so the COO of my company, Joe Thompson's his name. He's a Six Sigma guy. He's consulted with over 300 companies. And I was having, I remember this, we were in the middle of one of our directors' meetings, and I was having a little bit of anxiety on stress on something not working out.
Yeah.
And he looked at me in the eyes and he said, "Jim, there is no strategy for not executing properly on something. Like right. you, that, like you cannot make the, you don't want to make the decisions based on that fear. And like the whole reason we exist is to do something well. And right. And if you're right. worried about something failing before you even start, you have no shot at succeeding at it. You might as well not do it. But mm-hmm. like you can't plan like that. You have to plan okay. to have your team catch the ball, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that, like, that's an interesting way to look at it, because, you know, like it, like, yeah, if we don't catch the ball as a team, like, yeah, we're not going to be in business anymore. We need to find something else to do, but like, you don't necessarily have to plan for that. Like, that's like a, okay, it's time to sell everything and move on to the next step right. at that point. Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought that was a really good point.
That's why it's important to have a good team around you as an entrepreneur, and maybe a really good therapist too, because the life can be stressful. It can be so rewarding, but it can be stressful. And women more so than men, according to psychology, suffer from imposter syndrome. So I had a good male friend of mine. He was trying to get me to do some, he wanted me to do some online classes, starting daycare centers and whatnot. And I said, "I just don't feel qualified. You know, like, I just don't feel like," and he's yeah. like, "Are you kidding? Like, are you kidding me?"
Yeah.
You know, he's like, and it was funny as he made me pull up this, or he sent me a chart on, like, you know, small businesses and how much they bring in every year and what percentage. And I was like in the top 2% of small businesses and like money being brought in and net profit margin. He's like, "This statistic alone makes you qualified to talk about really whatever you want to talk about when it comes to small businesses." And
that's right.
But you just feel like you don't know enough. And then I think, so then you get to this point where, like, okay, even though my businesses are successful, what if this happens? So let me do this over here and let me do that over here. But I totally agree. You have to, I don't function in that so much anymore, but the last probably for a few years, I did function like that. And that's just not a great place to function from. You are correct. You know, so it's nice when you get to the point where it's like, you know, you can just, when you really start to believe and you work on your mindset and you say, even if it's a failure, like, it's still a learning lesson and I can take that and move on. But yeah, we don't go into things thinking we're going to fail, because we're not. We're going to make this thing work. We're going to do what we need to do, and trusting yourself and looking at your own history and saying, like, look how well you've done so far. Why would you question the next move? You know, but women are notorious for that imposter syndrome and just feeling like they're not good enough, no matter what level they're at. So.
Well, I wish I remembered specifically, because we were talking not necessarily on what business we are going to invest in, but we were talking on like a specific strategy and whether mm-hmm. or not it was going to like work or not, or do we need a workaround in case it doesn't work? And it's like, well, no, yeah. like the strategy needs to work. And then if it doesn't, then we'll do a new strategy. But
yeah,
you know, like, oh man, yeah, there's so much here, guys. And like, and there's a whole psychology around money too, you know, and like, does a business, this is like a whole nother discussion, but does a business, you know, do you have a business partner and do they have the same, do they like to save money? Do they like to spend money? You know, what was their environment when they grew up in, and a spouse as well, right?
There's a
lot there. So, what do you think, let's get back to you and your journey. Like if you had to give yourself a piece of advice, like knowing what you know now, when you were just starting out, what do you think one of the more important things to tell yourself would be?
So one, you're going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. you know, no matter what, it's all going to be okay. I think that's important for people to hear. But number two would be, go ahead and get in that coaching program. Get in the coaching program for whatever you are doing, whether you're in childcare, whether you're in Amazon drop shipping business, whether you're in real estate, go ahead and pay some money to be in a program where you can find people who are doing what you're doing, who are successful in what they're doing, and who are teaching you how to be successful. When we started our childcare business, I didn't know what I was doing, but I went in there every day. Everybody loved me. My employees loved me. The parents loved me. I'm like, I'm doing this great job. There were so many things I didn't know, though. And I joined a coaching program, and they taught me so much about the numbers of my business, how to measure those numbers, how to market the business. I met other owners. I met directors. I had people now that were in my tribe where I could call and ask them questions if I had an issue. Being an entrepreneur can be very lonely. It can be very lonely. Your friends with jobs won't understand what you're going through. If you don't meet people in your industry, it's hard. Sometimes it can be hard to talk to other entrepreneurs, but I think entrepreneurs, we sit here like this in our little hole or something and don't get out and don't... But it is important to get with people who are doing what you're doing and to learn about the industry and to have people that can relate to you and assist when you need help. I 100% was glad I was in a coaching program during COVID because, of course, none of us had been through a pandemic before. And nobody knew what to do with their business. No one knew what to do with parents walking in the door. Kids, should they wear masks? Should they not wear masks? Are we going to have to close? What should we be doing for sanitization? If I had to deal with that on my own, I don't know that we would have made it. But I had a good group of people that we could throw ideas and say, all right, hey, you know, and go from there. And I felt really supported. So get around people that are doing what you're doing. Get in a coaching program.
You know, it's funny as you're just reminding me a story about Henry Ford. I don't know if you ever heard many stories about Henry Ford or not.
But, I have not. So let's hear it.
So he was in a lawsuit. He was suing a newspaper for libel. They were trying to make him out to be an idiot. And during the lawsuit, the newspaper, their attorneys decided the tactic was to prove that Henry Ford was a moron and just a complete idiot. And so they started asking him questions like, how many states are in the U.S.? And where's the Mississippi River? And like just all sorts of just random trivia questions. And he didn't know the answers to most of them. And he said, you know what? I don't have to know the answer to any of these questions because in my office, I have a machine that's their version of a telephone, I guess, you know, I could just push a button and I could dial anyone in my office and all of them know the answers to all these questions.
Right.
So rather than... You know, and Henry Ford being the entrepreneur, was what he figured out was, I don't have to be the guy that has all the answers. I just need to have the right who. I need to have the right people around me that know the answers. And when I get that environment set up properly with people that I know, like, and trust that can solve these needs and execute on that, man, magic can happen. And, you know, and like, it's such a profound thing. And like, we didn't grow up thinking that. We grew up thinking it's cheating to collaborate with somebody in class, right? Like, oh, well, you can't take a test together. That's cheating. So then you get used to having to figure out and fill out all the bubbles to get your A+. But in entrepreneurship, you know, myself, I did one deal in my first 18 months because I thought I had to have all the answers and I had to study it. And correct. I didn't want my ego to be hurt because I didn't know I didn't want to admit that I didn't know anything about real estate investing and studied all these books. And, you know, I was in that information overload loop that, you know, was as if I was trying to learn how to shoot free throws and just read a book on free throw technique and never went out and actually shoot the free throw. Right. And, that's just so important. And so in my journey for the passive wealth, and what I believe is like, just become self-aware of who you are and then get the other right resources. Like, you know, like we have on our website, passivewealthshow.com, there's a reason why it's like, hey, do you want to talk to Jim and the team? Like just to have a conversation because it's going to be a lot faster path than trying to go through all sorts of different stuff and figure it out. And, you know, there's something for everybody depending on who you are. And, you know, I'd give myself as a 40-year-old now way different advice than I'd give myself as a 22-year-old, you know, like, so like, it's just helpful to have people around you that you can do things with. But, all right, well, hey, let's wrap up this call. I mean, is there anything else? Like if anyone wants to get a hold of you, is there any, you have like a website or anything or,
I do not have a website, but okay. I'm on social media.
Okay.
I'm a little older, so I'm on Facebook and Instagram, and it's my name, Kidada Mitchell. So I'm not trying to hide from anyone. And I'm really happy to, I feel one of the ways we've been successful too, is kind of just being free with information and helping where we can. So if anybody has any questions about business, about motherhood, about anything that I've talked about today, you know, please feel free to reach out to me, Kidada Mitchell, either at Facebook or Instagram.
Oh, well, that's really, really generous of you. Thanks so much for coming on. We really appreciate you. And guys, thanks for tuning in. We will see you next time. All right, guys, that's a wrap. Thanks so much for tuning in. We have a website, passivewealthshow.com, where you can get more great content and resources. We offer a passive profit strategy session, and you can find that on our website as well, where we'll basically ask you a bunch of discovery questions and help you figure out if investing passively is a good thing for you or not. So go to our website, passivewealthshow.com, and we'll go from there.